The gospel reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. This is the word of God.
Have you ever read someone else's mail? Even if you're invited to read it, do you feel like you're prying? Do you put yourselves in that person's shoes? You know, perhaps you've read an old letter of a parent or a relative. Or you've read a letter written many years ago by someone totally unknown. Or perhaps to bring it into today, have you read someone else's email or text message or messenger message? You know, today we're reading someone else's mail in 1 Corinthians 1, a letter sent by a bloke called Paul about 2,000 years ago. He wrote this letter to the Christians in a town named Corinth, which was the chief city in Greece at the time. It had been refounded by Julius Caesar, might be a name we know, about 100 years before this. Corinth was in a strategic location for commerce. It was a port city, and at the time of Paul, it was the largest city in the Roman Greece. It had theatre seating for 15,000 people. It had a concert hall for 3,000 people. It was a big city. It was very cosmopolitan, and there were a lot of immigrants, and they brought their own gods, and it was also known to be morally corrupt. And the Christians brought a lot of their baggage with them as well. So Paul had preached the gospel to the Gentiles and Jews in Corinth. And a church was born. So in a sense, this was his church plant. And 4 years later, he wrote this letter in response to some reports and also questions from the church. The church in Corinth was racially and socially mixed. A few Jews, mostly Gentiles, people who weren't Jews, ranging from slaves to upwardly mobile office holders. And although Christians, they wanted their social lives to remain unchanged. And this caused a few problems in the church. And hence, Paul's letter. It's a letter of correction. Now, in the New Testament, the churches of God were small gatherings. For instance, the Thessalonians were probably about 12 people. And the Corinthian church was probably the biggest, about 30 to 40 people. So we're considerably larger this morning as a church than what the New Testament churches were. And they had some issues in the church. And Paul had heard that factions had also developed. So that happening in churches goes back a long way. And the church, although gifted, was fairly immature in many ways. I believe there's a lot in this for us. even in these first 9 verses of this letter. And so this morning I want to look at some key words and concepts in this passage. The first one is called. We hear that Paul is called, and then we read, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. In the good news, it has to all who are called to be God's holy people. All are called. Sometimes we're called to a particular task, but typically a call for us is to be lived directly into the life context where one is called. In some versions, it has called to be saints. Or the called persons are saints. God has claimed them to be set apart as God's own people. Now, today, to be called a saint might seem inappropriate, unless it's in football, because it sort of sounds like elevation in some way. But that's not how Paul meant this. Each of us is a saint or a holy person because we belong to Christ. Paul was called. The Corinthians were called. We are called. We are called to embody Christ's grace and love in the world. Belonging. After writing that they were called saints, he quickly reminds them that they are part of a wider fellowship, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And although they were the local gathering of believers, they're also the local embodiment of the whole people of God. They're part of a large and growing worldwide family. And we today, 2,000 years on, are part of that worldwide family. Paul sees believers everywhere as belonging to each other, belonging to God's family. Together we belong. Together we are community. Grace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, every letter of Paul opens with an affirmation of God's grace. Every letter. Grace is a little word with this whole universe of meaning. Grace is God's freely given, unmerited gift or favour. It's receiving what we don't deserve. Grace is the power of God to support and sustain us in the midst of a broken world, in the midst of our struggles with life. Grace is the assurance that, as Paul puts it, God is for us. God is for us. Peace. Peace is the usual Hebrew greeting, but the Hebrew shalom means a lot more than just peace does in English. It's not simply the absence of strife, but the presence of positive blessings. It's, in a sense, it's spiritual prosperity. Shalom became the typical Christian greeting, and it's found in practically every letter in the New Testament. Grace and peace to you. And thanks. Paul models thankfulness. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. And he grounds all of his communications, all of his letters in thanksgiving to God. And this has more meaning when we realize that the Corinthians are actually pushing against Paul. And he even writes this letter almost in a combative tone, taking them on at every turn. His thanks is not based on whether he likes them or whether they view the issues in the world in the same way. His thanks is based simply on the fact that God's grace is active in them. Today's Christian community is founded in God's grace given to all. It's not founded on social compatibility or having the same views on doctrine. This is the foundation for the church being the visible evidence that a better world is possible, so that the community will see us by our love. We thank God for each other because we see God's grace active in each other. keep you firm to the end. He says, I'll also keep you firm to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we read the rest of 1 Corinthians, we marvel at Paul's ability to see all the issues of these Corinthian Christians and yet not waver in his faith that their salvation is in Christ and their salvation remains secure. So the Corinthians were prone to sort of like a spiritual complacency, and Paul reminds them that their hope lies in God alone. Whatever spiritual gifts they have, they come from Christ alone. And Christ will finish the work which he has begun so that they will be found faultless in God's sight. I wonder how spiritually complacent we are. I wonder how spiritually complacent I am or you are. There's a challenge in there for us. And Paul lingered over the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus is Paul's central concern. It appears he can't stop talking about Jesus. Jesus is mentioned 9 times in 9 verses. Without Jesus, nothing else he said or did made any sense. You know, he wants the Corinthians to understand what it means to have Jesus in the middle of their lives, their stories, their thoughts, their imagination. Jesus is the center of the picture. Is Jesus at the center of our picture, of our story? You know, in this passage, I see Paul protecting us from several dangers that we see today. Faith turning simply into internal attitudinal adjustment or into an individualistic experience or spiritual complacency. Our lives in Christ are never just our own, but they always involve how we relate to others around us. Our faith and our life in Christ is not simply a change in attitude, but must make a difference to the choices and the decisions that we make, the actions that we take, and the way that we treat others and even ourselves. We see a sense of story in this. What happened to them in the past, the sort of people they are in the present, and the hope they have in the future. With Jesus at the center of every stage, God has called them in the past, equips and strengthens them in the present, and will complete the whole process in the future as God is faithful. Past, present, and future. God has called them in the past, calls and equips us in the present. And as God calls us, equips and strengthens us, so God will complete God's work in us as God is faithful. This is good news. The believer's story and our story is always written into the larger story of God. And that larger story of what God has ultimately done is ultimately doing in Christ. You know, if you think of Jesus' life here on earth, he came as God incarnate, God with flesh on, as a baby, born to a girl named Mary, out the back of a pub, sleeping in a feed trough. He became a refugee as he fled with his parents from a jealous king. He challenged the institutionalized religion of the day, and he challenged them in their preconceptions of faith. And eventually, he was betrayed by a friend, a mate. And he had an unjust trial, and he was executed like a criminal, naked, wounded, and bleeding to take my place and your place. And I don't know how you respond to that, but we have this tendency to think of ourselves as pretty good people. You know, we're not like others. But we're broken, we're fallen, and deep down we know that we're self-serving. We're aware of our own pride and ambition, our thoughts, our judgment of others, our intentions, our motivations. And yet, we are totally and utterly forgiven by God through the death of Jesus on the cross for us. This is amazing grace, that Jesus would take our place. And hence, we linger over his name and we place Jesus in the middle of our lives, our story, our picture. Now, Paul wants the Corinthians to understand what it means to have Jesus in the middle of their lives, their stories, their thoughts, their imagination. We are a forgiven people, and together we're called to be saints. We're called to respond to the life of Jesus, to respond to God's grace. We are the church. We gather together just as the early churches did. We belong to each other. Ultimately, this passage shows us how we are a community and that we are to embody God's grace in the world together, strengthened by Jesus. We are called, we belong to each other in community. We experience God's grace, grace embodied. We give thanks for each other and we linger over the name of Jesus, who is our reason for being and our purpose for living, who leads us to the other side, as we talked about last week. So we've read the opening part of someone else's mail. And we've discovered some relevance to our own lives 2,000 years later. I invite you to reflect on a particular time when you've experienced God's grace tangibly in your life. Think about what actions and attitudes help us to express God's grace to each other. And reflect about how this plays out in our everyday lives as we experience and we embody God's grace today and tomorrow. And next week. And remember, God is faithful. God is faithful. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your amazing love, so high, so deep, so wide. We can't even humanly comprehend your love. Thank you for the words of Paul to the church in Corinth that we can still relate to today. Father, Creator God, forgive us for our sin, for our pride, for when we make our lives all about ourselves and when we don't put you in the center. Lord Jesus, help us to remember we are called to experience and embody your grace, to show and to share your grace and peace in your world. Holy Spirit, help us to be thankful for each other, to be forgiving of each other, to be community together as we continue to discover what it means to belong together. And loving God, as you are faithful, help us to be faithful. Help us to embody your love in the world today, tomorrow, next week, and in the coming months. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.